Good morning once again. Our sermon today is from Ephesians 4, chapter 17 to 24. We're going to have a word of prayer and then read our text. Father in heaven, as Jeff prayed, we thank you for the beautiful spring weather, reminding us that things can be made new, and they are before us. Thank you, Lord, that one day all things will be made new. We thank you that we are new creatures in Christ, those of us who have been born again from heaven. We pray, Lord, that we would walk by faith and not by sight when our old nature tries to pull us down, and we would press in to our Lord Jesus Christ and fully identify as new creatures in him. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for that singing, by the way, Tori and the Herods. It's great to see the different gifts in our church body, people working together to build us all up like we've been talking about in the first part of this chapter and before that. Now we're going to move to more our individual responsibility to be pressing in to Christ and making the right choices as individuals so we build together with good materials. Let's look at verse 17 and we'll read to 24. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. Amen. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I'm also going to read this same passage from the Message version of the Bible. I've made a few slight amendments. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the old crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you, because you learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, have been well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take your entirely new self, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. This passage is about the old self and the new self, sometimes called the old man and the new man. And it's about our identity as people. I remember I was saved after my sophomore year in college from the midst of a hedonistic, pleasure-seeking fraternity life. And I remember I had an identity crisis. My frat boys wanted me to be just like I used to be. They say, come on and party with us, Will. You still got it in you. And in one sense, they were right. I still had the old corrupt self within me, but I knew I had a new self. One night, I was so confused about my identity. I don't recommend this, but I was drinking excessively, and I just stopped. I went into the bathroom. I poured the rest of my beer down the sink. And then I thought, well, you know, if I just fill it back up with water, then they'll think I'm still one of them and I'll still please God. Now, that's confusion. That's stupid. But there's a lot of confusion in our culture today. Today's culture says, just disregard God and indulge in finding yourself, meaning your unredeemed self, and your own truth, meaning you should embrace your own selfishness and make choices that resonate with your not in Christ self. It's a combination of self-deification, self-actualization, and hedonism. Reminds me of Narcissus, who was a figure in Greek mythology. Narcissus was very handsome, and he was infatuated with himself. In fact, he would take no suitors because none of them were as good-looking as he was, and he didn't think he could lower himself to love anybody but himself. One day, he walked across a pond and saw his reflection in the pond. And he was so enamored and infatuated and mesmerized with himself that he kept staring and staring and staring. And finally, he became weak and fell into the water and drowned. There's a lot of problem when we enthrone our sinful self as our identity. Psychology defines an identity crisis as a period of confusion and doubt about oneself, often occurring during times of transition in one's teens or early 20s or even in middle age, when confronting conflicting paths in life. Social media can exacerbate uncertainty of self-identity by creating a distorted view of reality and comparisons with others which pressure to conform to unrealistic standards of beauty, success, and happiness. Social media also promotes an environment where identity is not internal, but is constantly shaped and rearranged by external peers and followers. I'll add, in the identity lie that sexuality is fluid rather than binary has brought on horrific identity crisis across the world, resulting in great tragedy. Aldo Perez of Orion University says, how do we cope with a broken sense of identity and a growing mental health crisis? I think it is important to stay mindful of where we anchor our sense of self. C.S. Lewis said this, there are no real personalities apart from God, Until you have given up yourself to Him, you will not have a real self. Our main idea this morning is you must embrace, or that is, affirm your true self. You must embrace your true self. And we're going to look from our text today at two ways that we embrace our true self. First, we got to blast before we build. You must lay aside your old self. This is a choice. Let's look at verses 17 and 18. Now this I say and testify you in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. No longer walk as the Gentiles. You know, Moses had an identity choice. He was raised among pagan Gentiles, even though he was a Jew, right? He was raised as a son of Pharaoh, but when he grew up, he had to make an identity choice. Hebrews 11, 24 and following. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you see? He refused. He made a choice. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. But these unbelievers and our old self that's within us, is rotten to the core. Let's look at verse 19. They have become callous. You know, if you grip a gym bar and you work out long enough, your hands get calloused. And you can't, the blisters just turn into calluses and you don't even feel pain anymore. Well, the unbelieving old self has become callous in their conscience. They no longer feel any conviction of sin. They know their conscience is just seared. They feel nothing. And the tragedy is they think they're enlightened because they reject the Bible and they believe the latest philosophies or cults. But in reality, they're in the dark. It says, they've become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of greed. You know, we hang around Christians a lot. We forget how depraved the old man is. And we're even capable of it. Nero sodomized his enemies and then set them on fire, including Christians. Today, sex trafficking goes on, child molesting. And cannibals from Liberia have been interviewed and said this human flesh is delicious, especially that of women and children. Can you imagine how depraved that old nature is? Well, that old man hasn't improved any, and it leads to a bad place. Philippians 3:19 says, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. In other words, their senses. They glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. They have no eternal perspective. They just live for the moment. Their minds are set on earthly things. They glory in their shame. Colossians 3:6, the parallel passage to these verses in Ephesians, Colossians 3:1-11. In verse 6 it says, because of these things the wrath of God will come. 1 Peter 4, they're surprised that you don't go with them to the same excess of debauchery. But they will give an account to him who judges the living and the dead. You think it might be a good idea to put off that old self? Belongs to our former manner of life. Verse 22. Put off your old self. See, there we're making a choice. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Is corrupt is a Greek participle meaning is being corrupted. It's not like it was corrupt and now it's not. The old self, the old man in us Christians as well as in the unbeliever is continually getting worse and worse. Or to put it aside. And put off is in the aorist tense in Greek, which means it's once and for all, a definite, conclusive action. We put it off. Like Lazarus, when Jesus called him out of the tomb, he still had on his grave clothes, right? And he had been stinking for 4 days, right? Imagine what those grave clothes smelled like. Jesus said, unbind him. Take it off of him and let him go. There's no refunds on these, but there's no charge either. The old self is putrefied, but the new self is re-nutrified. We're cooking with gas and we're growing high cotton because we're putting off all that's rotten. You be you will make you pew. Unless the you do is made brand new. And you know, one thing we're supposed to put off is abusive speech. Just talking, saying destructive things that hurt people, hurt you too when you say them, because you're becoming a monster. Spurgeon one time was preaching on the talents, the parable of the talents. And afterward, a woman came up to him and said, well, Reverend Spurgeon, my talent is speaking my mouth anytime I feel like it. And he said, woman, I suggest you take that talent and bury it. Kill it. Get rid of it. Bury it. So we must lay aside our old self. No longer walk as the unsaved do. Second, you must embrace your true self, which is being made in the image of God. That's our new self-image, is in the image of God. I even said here, you must, as said embrace, I would put actualize your new self. You must actualize it. Because Embrace sounds a little bit passive, but actualize involves action. It involves doing something, right? You actualize it. You affirm it. You bring it to reality. Verse 20. That is not the way you learned Christ, assuming you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. And now, put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We didn't learn Christ so we could live in our old nature. Our hearts no longer need hanker after evil. After all, we're his sheep. We hear his voice. He's the light of the world. Our minds are no longer darkened. Our hearts are now circumcised, as it were, and we're no longer calloused. And our conscience is being renewed. It says, just as truth, you were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. I'll tell you what. You know, truth is not just a proposition. Truth is not just a doctrine. Truth is a person. It says it right there. Truth is in Jesus. And the truth about Jesus and about us leads to salvation and to an understanding of the fullness of the truth of God, the truth about man, the truth about creation, the truth about heaven, the truth about hell, and the truth about sexuality. For example, if you study the Word of God, you need not be confused about sexuality. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. In the beginning, he created them male and female. There's just two, Adam and Eve. When Jesus was asked, some confused people asked Jesus about marriage, he said, do you not know that in the beginning God made them male and female? That's pretty clear, right? You're either one or the other. And sexuality is very important because it goes to the very core of your being, right? Your identity, who you are. And I love what he says in 22 to 24. The identification with Christ. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, baptism is a symbol of this, right? It's called identification truth, okay? The old self, once for all, is buried. And then it's raised to new life in Christ. But that's just a symbol of a greater spiritual reality. Romans 6 talks about this. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? We are buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 1 to 4. And then verse 11 is where Paul tells us to actualize it, to affirm it. He says, so you must reckon yourselves, consider yourselves, actualize yourselves as dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Lean into your new life in Christ. When the devil whispers in your mind, oh, you're only human, you know, that old self, you know, well, you thought you had drowned that sucker, but he knows how to swim. When you're tempted by Satan like that, you press in to God's word. You reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. And you tell the devil, I'm a brand spanking new creature in Christ. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, the mind is so critical in this game, you know. It's not a game. But we affirm our new identity, not only speaking differently, as I mentioned, but by thinking differently. Paul says, Romans chapter 8, 5 and following, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And Paul says, if the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, you don't belong to Him at all. And if we're not, if we don't have some conscience about sin, about repenting from this old way of life, you may not be a believer at all. That's why it says, that is not the way you learn Christ. Assume, that's verse 20 and 21. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him. We renew our minds. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind again. Proverbs 23:7 is profound. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You see how it's so important what you put in your mind? Philippians 4:8 is helpful. Whatever things are true, lovely, pure, praiseworthy, above reproach, of good repute, if there's any excellence or anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Christian music helps a lot too. When I came out of that fraternity life, there was a lot of Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin and just destructive kind of music. And I plugged into Christian music and it helped renew my mind. And it helps us every day. I don't care if you're a babe in Christ or mature in Christ. Verse 24 says a lot with a few words. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, the image of God, in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness is justification. You're right with God. Just as if I'd never sinned. Okay? That's a pardon, right? And then the Christian life is working out that justification and walking worthy of it and becoming more and more like Christ. That's why it says righteousness and holiness. 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about meditating on the Word and on Christ. And when we do, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's power in our life is critical to being renewed in our mind and actualizing who we are in Christ. Now, I want to say a word about the new self. When you're new in Christ and you press into your identity in Christ, you don't lose who God made you to be. You're still a unique creature. Every one of us is unique. I can't play music like these people up here, okay? And I'm not real good with finances and budgets, and I'm glad we have people who do that. And, you know, Paul, God used who he was. He was a great Old Testament scholar, right? He was a very exuberant man. God used that after he was saved. But it was in Christ that he used it. This church has a pastor who's very energetic and very zealous. And would you say God has used that a little bit to build our church? But that's the renewed him that's being used to build God's kingdom. So, Lydia, the first convert from Europe, was a talented merchant, talented craftswoman, making fabrics, dyeing fabrics, selling them. And God used that, all her contacts and connections, to build churches in Philippi. So, as long as the you do is being made new, then you be you. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, "Give up yourself and you will find your real self. Lose your life and you will save it. Your real new self, which is Christ's and also yours, will not come as long as you are looking for it. It will come when you are looking for him. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, and ruin. But look for Christ, and you will find your new life, and with him everything else thrown in." Father in heaven, we thank you for making us new in Christ. And we press in. We actualize who we are in Christ. Thank you for making us more than conquerors through your Spirit who dwells in us. In Jesus' name, amen.